Nigerian. Come on, Fulham. Come on.
Hello and welcome to the That's So Craven podcast, your Fulham podcast from Down Under. We are back again, this time to discuss the game coming up against Liverpool, back to Craven Cottage after a great win against West Ham. Here to talk it all through and work out how Fulham win this game, we have Dave. How are we going, mate?
Yeah, going really well. Thank you. Really excited for the game. A game I think that, you know, I think we can cause Liverpool some problems. So I'm really looking forward to talking about it. You may also have noticed that after Monday's debacle, where I was streaming off my iPhone and watching Skibby, Elton and Sammy with their, you know, their headphones, their microphones, lighting and all their makeup, I thought, you know, I've got to step up my game. I've got to invest in some, you know, the finest kind of tech that Amazon could recommend at a discounted price. So here I am today, all kitted out. And, you know, there's an expression in England of all the gear and no idea. And I'll be very offended if anyone labels that at me today. So let's just crack on and get into the game.
Mate, it feels like a return to the heady days of Fan Zone again, seeing you with the cans on in front of a microphone. It's what we love.
Yeah, definitely.
Also joining us today, Skibby. How are we going, mate?
Yeah, all good. All good. I mean, quite optimism. Just got to unpack the game, really. I'm really kind of looking forward to this one. So happy to crack on and get into it, but happy to be here.
It's been quite optimism for most of the season with varied results at the end of it, but I agree, definitely looking forward to this one. And Sammy, how are we going tonight? Nice early one for you.
I love the early ones. I love the early ones. I have, and then after this finishes, I have 2 hours. 2 hours when I can do shit as opposed to going to bed at 1 a.m. following lovely chats with you guys. Although I must say, I'm not entirely sure how like stoked I am to be talking about this. I'm quite impressed with the positivity in the room. It's a very, very good.
Yeah, Jim, let's just get in. Let's just do it. You don't need to hear my spiel. Let's just get involved, you know?
That's a good idea. Crack straight into it then. We'll talk about Fulham playing Liverpool this weekend. So it's a Sunday game. Liverpool obviously playing in Europe this week. 4:30 p.m. kickoff at Craven Cottage. It's 11:30 p.m. for the west coast of Australia, 1:30 for the east coast. It's an 8:30 a.m. kickoff on the Sunday for the US Pacific time and 11:30 a.m. for Eastern time. Guys, we've all sort of said we're looking forward to this game, maybe for differing reasons. Dave, I'll throw to you first. How are you feeling going into this one? Liverpool on a bit of a weird run at the moment and with a lot of fixtures in the pipeline. Do you think we can give them another good game like we have done so far a couple of times this season?
Yeah, I really do. I think that you know, a couple of times this season, twice last season as well, actually, since we've been up under Silva, I think, you know, we've caused Liverpool problems at times. I think our style of play as well, is suited to causing a team like Liverpool problems. They like to press high, and we like to play around the press and break and get forward on transition and create chances. And it's just same old story. It's going to be about getting that first goal, getting ahead. I think that's going to be really important again.
Yeah, no, definitely agree. I think we've lost
Dave. Weapons in their arsenal. Oh, you lost me. I'm back. I believe
you came back again. All the gear and still can't get it quite right.
Still no idea. Yeah. There we go. That sums it up really, doesn't it?
No, I definitely agree. And Skibby, playing Liverpool at home, Fulham's recent form, actually, the last three times Liverpool have visited Craven Cottage, it's three draws, a one-all draw in the league back in 2020, a two-all draw last season, at the start of last season, then the one-all draw in the League Cup. Do you feel like Liverpool are currently finding Craven Cottage a slightly tougher place to visit?
Yeah, I think so. I think, sort of echoing Dave's points, it's almost like Silva seems to have something on Liverpool where, like, the Anfield trip where we lost 4-3, we didn't necessarily play very well, but we were picking up goals where we just shouldn't be getting goals, which is kind of a stark contrast to other games where we're playing really well, but we're not scoring. So it's almost as if we should be going with a bit of confidence that Silva really knows is kind of in Klopp's head a little bit. And those games, especially at home, the 2-2 draw, where they seem to be a bit rattled. I think the last season, and then the 1-1 draw in the cup this season. I mean, yeah, fair enough. It was a semi-final, and Craven Cottage had atmosphere, which I've never seen before. Probably going all the way back to sort of like Juventus, like that kind of atmosphere. It was unbelievable, which I think really played in Fulham's favour. But I think there's something about Liverpool at the moment where they seem to be obviously blowing teams away because they're in a position that they are fighting for the title. But what we're seeing now is the pressure really being applied because you're in that final run-in and you've got Arsenal, Man City and Liverpool very, very close. And this weekend, we saw them falter. We saw Liverpool lose to 1-0 against Palace, and then we saw Arsenal falter. So there is an immense pressure. Whereas, stark contrast for Fulham, we're just fighting for to be wherever we want to be. And that allows us to sort of be a bit more relaxed, be a bit more free-flowing. And Liverpool's to... They need to win this. They are coming in and they're going to have to sort of come out of their holes. And Fulham just need to sort of stand firm, be where they want to be, and take the game to Liverpool in their own terms. And I think that is really playing into our sort of advantage. And not to mention the fixture congestion, which I'm sure we'll get into a bit later. But I mean, as a Fulham fan, we should be optimistic. Liverpool fans, they're very nervous for this one. Because I think not just because it's Fulham, but every game going forward now until the run of the season, they have to win. Because Man City don't know that they're faltering. So
doesn't that kind of stress you out though? Because that's kind of where my stress kind of lies. Because if I think if they absolutely spanked Crystal Palace, I might probably be a little bit more like, well, we've killed some giants this season. We've actually been able to cause some upsets. But I think now it's that wounded animal thing. I think they're probably looking to reorganize and come into this game very, very seriously. And I don't like that very much. And I definitely think we can give them a really competitive contest. And I think we can really, really show our stripes here. But like, I don't want to play an angry Liverpool. It's like, I don't want to pick on the bully, even though there's a slightly bigger bully. He could still kick my ass.
I mean, there's one thing about saying they're angry like after one game, but they've done two games where they've completely kind of absolutely just not turned up. Atalanta took the game to them. Palace then took the game to them. So we're not dealing with an angry Liverpool. We're dealing with an absolutely ferocious, furious beast coming to Craven Cottage.
It's true. And look, that at Atalanta side, I mean, they played well and they beat Liverpool, but they're not exactly high-flying at the moment. They're sitting sixth in Serie A. I wouldn't say they're world beaters, and to dominate Liverpool at Anfield is a bit of an achievement for them. And Liverpool, I mean, looking back at Gerrard's slip all those years ago, they do have a bit of a tendency to bottle towards the end of the season. And I feel like it's actually a very good time to be playing Liverpool in a way, because the nerves potentially seem to get to Liverpool more than they do to Man City, even to Arsenal at this stage, who look like they're a little bit more settled, even though they've had a couple of bad results. Losing to Villa, who are in the form of their lives at the moment, I wouldn't call a terrible result. Losing to Palace, that is a bad result. It kind of feels like it's coming at a good time almost. I know it's not ideal to play Liverpool at any point in the season because they're obviously a great team, but when you've got that team who's potentially rocking a fraction, maybe it is a good time to come up against them. One thing worth talking about as well is, you know, we played Liverpool a couple of times this season. Rodrigo Muniz, who's been in scintillating form in the last couple of months, has played 7 minutes against this Liverpool side across the course of this season. We played Liverpool three times this season. Dave, I'll throw to you first. Do you think the Liverpool defence might find him a bit of a handful this weekend?
Yeah, I do. I think that he's going to give them new challenges. And, you know, I think he's got the strength to compete with Van Dijk and Canute, will it? I believe they've been playing recently. So I expect him to be him lining alongside him. So that's a new challenge for them, which, you know, and I'd expect, you know, the same level of performance from Muniz as that he's been putting in over this recent run of games. I do think that that's a new weapon in our arsenal that Liverpool haven't faced this year. And if we can get him some chances, then perhaps, there's a route to goal there.
Skibby?
And I might just add in there as well about Van Dijk. I always have this really funny conversation with a friend of mine because he says how much Van Dijk is the best player in the Premier League, one of the best centre-backs in Premier League history. And I'm like, not against Fulham. He never is. Mm. And he always sort of says to me, oh, what do you mean? And I can bring it up every time, which is, I remember during, I think it was COVID, that Ryan Babel got in from a Van Dijk mix-up with Alisson. And then in the cup, I think Van Dijk just let the ball bounce. Pereira got in front of him, pulled it back for Willian and scored. So Van Dijk, he seems to have just some kind of mistake waiting to happen against Fulham. I don't know why. Just seems to be something which I've noticed. But then if you watch the Palace game very recently, I think Mateta got put through on goal, but like really wasn't like a defence splitting pass. It was almost a tap through which he let run. And Van Dijk just almost banana skin, just whoop, gone straight over. And it's just so uncharacteristic from someone who historically has been very strong. But I think coming up against a striker in Muniz who is full of confidence is probably nothing you want to face as a central defender anyway. But facing a striker who's full of confidence, 10 years your junior, and potentially you're now going through a bit of a phase where you're making a few mistakes later in your career, I gotta fancy a bit of Muniz to sort of give him a bit of trouble. I might be wrong. I might be completely sort of blowing smoke, but I can see it happening, and I can see that you might be in for a bit of a tough time come Sunday.
Do you know what? Just to intervene, Skibby makes a good point about Van Dijk, and another game which you didn't mention there was the Liverpool at home game last year where Mitrovic gave him a torrid time.
Skinned him. I think he'd not make him or...
And I think, you know, we've talked about similarities in Mooney's game with Mitrovic in the past. So it's clearly the kind of striker that Van Dijk struggles against. So maybe that's cause for optimism too.
I 100% agree. I also think from what I've seen, Mooney's has to be one of the most physical strikers in the Premier League at the moment. The way he harries and hassles defenders, I just feel like Van Dijk, maybe because of his just physical presence, often I don't even think he uses his physicality that much. He's just generally bigger than most other strikers, and so he kind of gets away with it. But I'm actually really interested in seeing Muniz really challenge him, really have him, you know, hold up the ball, just fight for the ball a little bit more than most strikers actually would do. I think it could be something to potentially exploit there, which is a weird thing to say, looking at exploiting, you know, probably one of the best Premier League defenders there's been over the last 5 years or so. But it does feel like a game where Muniz could potentially shine. And Sammy, I'll pose a question to you. Muniz has gone a couple of games without scoring now. Do you think he needs to score against Liverpool to maintain this level of confidence? Or do you feel like just another good performance is enough from him?
I think another good performance is enough. I mean, I think we're actually also as well telegraphing a good performance from Muniz because, I mean, based on everything you guys are talking about, and if I actually skim the corners of my memory, it does actually track pretty well because, I mean, if you think about like what the last 7 years, I can't exactly remember when Van Dijk moved over, but the Premier League has done this very kind of abrupt curve it really since like the introduction of players like Haaland of just reintroducing target men. Mitrovic was always target man, and that was actually quite rare because not a lot of teams have those really strong bolstering. For really like the last decade, everyone's just been doing a really quick front three with very, very technical players. So that does make sense that Muniz could have a really, really strong performance. I think he seems not only mentally strong, but just quite humble as well. I don't necessarily think he needs a goal. I think he just needs to contribute. I'd be more than happy. Obviously, I want a goal from Muniz, but I would be really stoked with an assist. And I can't see him not actually doing well. I think he's had enough key performances. And one thing that's really, really nice in the squad at the moment is there's a real trust with him up front, because you can ask players to pass to you, and you can ask for the ball to be crossed in and for you to receive the ball as a target man. But you really have to build up that trust among players. And I think he's fully got it now. So as long as he's playing his part, that's all he really needs to do for me. And I can't see him not doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit on,
what Sammy just mentioned, which was around the target man. You really raised an interesting point there, and I quickly just did a Google for, you know, the last game, Mateta, who gave him quite a hard time. 6'4", 90 kilos. So yeah, you might be onto something there.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, Fulham have played in that sort of system for the last couple of years as well, which tends into it quite nicely, because we know how to play football playing with a target man up front and playing to his strengths. And Muniz, his strengths are probably slightly different from Mitro's. I'd say he's got a little bit more pace than Mitro, and possibly even a little bit more skill, it seems. His passing is probably the thing that's impressed me most this year. I was saying to Dad when we were watching the game last week, I don't know how many times I've seen, at least in the last probably 3 months, Muniz misplace a pass. And even if it doesn't fully get to the player, it's always in the general direction of someone in space, and he always seems to be finding the right passes. And I really like that about him. I think Mitro was quite good at holding the ball up and playing little passes off him, but you see Muniz spread the ball out wide often and actually create more opportunities because of it. So I agree. I'm enjoying playing with this target man at the moment. I did not enjoy watching West Ham play two up front. I think it just failed dismally. Danny Ings was an absolute ghost for the whole game for me. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit at the start, fixture congestion and how much of an impact it'll make. Liverpool go away to Atalanta on Thursday night. That's 8 p.m. GMT kickoff for them. So they'll be finishing up that game late on Thursday, probably catching a flight maybe that night, back early Friday morning, recovery day Saturday. Basically straight into a game against Fulham. The Atalanta game could be pretty physical. Liverpool have a lot to fight for here to stay in this one. I also had a quick look over the 17 days from the Atalanta game to their game on the 5th of May, I think it is. They have to play 5 games in a space of 17 days. So they never have more than 3 or 4 days at a time off. They've obviously had a couple of games in the last few days as well. Skibby, I'll throw to you first. How much of a impact do you think fixture congestion actually has with these professional footballers nowadays?
Yeah, massive. Absolutely massive. And I mean, yeah, you've got a squad, and Liverpool probably have one of the better squads in the Premier League when it comes to sort of rotation. I mean, I was looking at the players which they left out for the Palace game who played against Atalanta. So you kind of have, you know, Harvey Elliott was on the bench. I think Diogo Jota to come on. I think Szoboszlai was benched. So they've got a huge amount of talent. But I mean, what you don't really take into consideration, and I mean, we've all done it, like you taking off flight somewhere is no easy feat. I mean, you could have everything done for you in terms of, you know, Liverpool will probably go on a private plane. They'll probably have, you know, a bus that will take you to the airport, probably right to the actual airplane itself. But it still takes a lot out of you just to traveling alone. So I think call it 2 to 3 hours travel in total, potentially from Liverpool to Italy, will take a lot of a feat. Then you've got to do that return, whether it be on a late night, whether it be early morning. It's still going to be that kind of feeling of you're just not going to have any rest. And these players are human after all. They may be sort of superhuman when it comes to being, you know, athletic and that kind of aspect, but in terms of fatigue and from travel alone, it's going to take a lot out of them. And I feel like that is going to be something which is going to really hinder them, not just for the Fulham game, but for the actual final push at the end of the season. But also one thing to sort of consider here, that Liverpool are now having to go into this game 3-0 down. So they're going to, luckily for them, the away goals don't count anymore. So they only need sort of three goals to sort of tie the tie, as it were. But that's still something really difficult to do. And going into a country such as Italy, where, you know, we like to think that we can do ultras very well, but Italy, Germany, and Spain are completely different level. So they're going to be in a game with Atalanta fighting against the 12th man as well. And that's going to really take their energy levels from sort of, you know, to get to three all, we're going to have to be sort of 95%. Everything is going to have to be perfect. They're going to have to go take it up and even further. And then, you know, if that doesn't come off, and they're going to have to throw everyone into this game. So there's going to be very few players, in my opinion, who are going to be sort of rested ahead of Fulham. Therefore, they're going to be coming to a Craven Cottage either completely flat out because they tried their hardest to get back into a game where they're very hindered anyway by being 3-0 down. But yeah, it's just going to be a fully fresh-faced Fulham as well. So that makes it even harder for them. So I think for me, it just the congestion alone. I know we talk about it. Pep talks about it. Klopp talks about it. No one gives them sympathy, but I do give them sympathy. I do think that we are asking a lot of them, but it's just the kind of issues you get by being a successful club. Everybody wants you to be in the biggest competitions. Everybody wants you to play in these competitions. But as a result, your players are going to be shattered. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a very shattered and deflated Liverpool come Sunday, because I don't think they're going to get anything out of this game personally.
Do we think, Dave, that Liverpool will put out a very strong 11 against Atalanta? And in turn, do you think that might mean that we see a few players rested for the Fulham game?
I think there'll be some rotation. I mean, they have to go for it in, you know, against Atlanta. It's a chance to, you know, win a Europa League here and Klopp's reign at Liverpool on a real high. So I think they will go for it. I think they'll have to use their squad. I mean, you know, Skibby mentioned some of the players that they had on the bench at the weekend. We're bound to see some of those guys come in, whether that be for the Atlanta game or the Fulham game, just to mix things up. I think Jurgen Klopp's also tinkering a lot at the moment, trying to find the right formula. You know, Black and White Fred, who's following the live stream at the moment, made the point, you know, has the pressure of Klopp leaving actually worked against them? And I think it has a little bit. And you're starting to see him become really animated on the touchline. He's really struggling to kind of get the tune he wants out of his current team. So I do expect rotation. And yeah, I can't tell you who that will be. It's really hard to predict their team for Sunday. The other point I think that, you know, Skibby was making about the preparation of the game for Liverpool, they won't have the same level of build up to our game as we do. We've got a week off to plan and prepare our tactics for the game and to really work out what we want to do. Whereas Liverpool won't, they'll be focused on this Atlanta game and then they've got a really quick turnaround to ours and we've really got to make that count.
Yeah, 100% agree. Sammy, would you prefer to see, it's a bit of a silly question, but best case scenario, Liverpool do score three goals, go to extra time, lose it on penalties to Atalanta, come back absolutely shattered. Do you think a loss in Atalanta is going to have a massive effect on Liverpool coming into this game? Or do you think they're probably expecting a loss? And so psychologically, at least, it's not going to make much of a difference.
It's hard, isn't it? I think they are prioritizing the Premier League because I think that's it. Surely it would mean more to them than the Europa League. Surely, especially when it's as close as it actually is. So I'd like teams like Liverpool are never going to throw in the towel, and even a reduced quality team, if you can actually call it that, it's still going to be very, very strong. I think if they are going to do rotation, it'll be pretty conservative. And I think we have seen it in the past before. Good periods and bad periods, they are still a serious force and they can rotate quite a lot and take risks on younger players and they can still be quite successful with that. So, yeah, Yeah, it's really hard. This one's a really difficult one to like speculate on. I mean, really, the only thing I can speculate on is the narrative that's going to happen around it, because it does kind of depend on what happens with Atalanta. But I think the Premier League is far too tasty for them to not want to go completely gung ho on that. So then I think we're. Is it fair to say we might even be a bigger target than Atalanta?
I think that's probably a fair comment. I don't know if you would fully write it off considering you're 3-0 down, although you're probably realistically looking at it going, this is going to be really tough, so let's kind of ignore it. The big thing for Liverpool now, they cannot afford to drop any points in the Premier League. So you're probably right, but I also think, imagine the fans' reaction if they go out to Atalanta, you're in a European, is it quarterfinals, semi-final, quarterfinal? It is a European quarterfinal, sorry.
Quarters.
You go out and you send out like a weakened team in a quarterfinal where you're 3-0 down. It's a bit of a piss take, and I don't think they would do that, and I don't think the fans would really accept that.
But you do pose an interesting question. What would they be angrier about, that scenario or losing to Palace and then Fulham?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I don't think, if they lose to Fulham, the title's gone. That's about as simple as it could be. Realistically, Man City and Arsenal win this weekend and pull, what's that, like 5-6 points ahead of them effectively. Game over for them. They're not winning the Premier League at that point, so they have to win this game. It's going to be really interesting to see what team they decide to put out both on Thursday night and on Sunday, because they have some big decisions to make. And like you said, there's been a lot of fixtures recently. They're going to be leggy. I mean, if you look at just the last 10 days, I've just got the form up for those watching along on the live stream. Sheffield United on the 4th of April, Man United on the 7th, Atalanta on the 11th, Palace on the 14th. We then have them playing us this weekend. It's before that, four games in 10 days. That's a big, big effort. And you can see how the results sort of varied on that. The fact that they drew 2-2 with Man United, a game that they probably would expect to win, even though it is a bit of a derby and different circumstances, but then to be absolutely rolled by Atalanta and then to fall over against Palace. There's definitely a few little issues going on there. And I think, like you said, going deep into competitions, they won the League Cup, made the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, quarterfinals of the Europa League, pushing for a title. Maybe it's just getting to the point where it's a little bit too much. You consider most of the players are sort of up around the 45 appearances mark by this point in the season, which is, it's a big push when you consider you've got a couple of these guys going to be hitting 50 and there's been injuries through the year, so players aren't fully fit. It's definitely going to be an interesting one. If we look at the recent form for both teams, Fulham actually doing really well in the last 10 games, sitting 7th in the form table. 5 wins, 1 draw and 4 losses for 16 points with a goal difference of +6. Liverpool, not bad, but not that much further ahead of us, sitting in 3rd. 6 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses, 20 points with a goal difference of +9. Guys, I'll kind of move the conversation a bit to focus a little bit more on Fulham here. We obviously saw a couple of changes to the lineup on the weekend against West Ham. Lukic coming in and starting and doing a very good job. And obviously Willian, Iwobi, Andreas is that front three behind Muniz. Do we see any changes this week? Sammy, I'll throw to you first.
I can't take out Lukic. Statistically speaking, we seem to, not absolutely every week and in every game, but we seem to do really, really well when he's in the squad. So I'm keeping him in there. Do you know what? I don't think I make any changes. Honestly, I can't think of a change. Oh, you're on mute.
No, I was going to say, I think, the same as Sammy. I think I'm not Lukic's biggest fan, but I don't think he's any use to us coming off the bench. So I mean, we've got a winning formula, stick to it. I think Lukic plays really well coming in from a perspective where they have a really tricky sort of attacking midfielder and number 10, which, you know, they tend to sort of double up on. And I think if Szoboszlai starts, then that would probably be him. You know, there's, to be honest, there's a lot of players I could name that would probably do their job on. You know, you've got kind of like Gakpo, you've got McAllister, who's an absolute nuisance. I think we wouldn't want to change the defense. Everything seems to be quite structured at the moment, seems quite stable defensively. And I think we just have to rely on sort of the Wilsons, the Cairneys. If we need to sort of see out a game or make any changes, I think they're more impactful off the bench than they are starting. So I think we leave it as is.
Can I just make one point? Just because I think it's quite funny. I really like how Sasa Lukic has kind of strongholded Fulham, because when you think about it, everybody else in his position has actually done the wrong thing, because they've made themselves quite useful off the bench. Whereas he goes, no, you either start me and we play well, or like it's not gonna work, so we have to start him now. It's actually in a genius system.
I don't like it, but fair enough. Sulky little.
It's true. Maybe he plays really poorly off the bench on purpose to make sure he starts, has absolute belters on the pitch. Dave, your thoughts on potential lineup?
No, I'm with the guys. I just can't see any changes. Silva doesn't tend to change a winning side, and you know, I as I say, I think we'll be looking to evade the press, the Liverpool press, and we'll want to make sure that we've got enough kind of cover in there for Zhao as well. So I think Lukic will get the nod over Cairney again, and I don't expect too many changes to the bench either. Of course, if there's any injuries or you know, come up in the week, we'll find that out at Marco's press conference, I believe tomorrow. But otherwise, now I'm with the guys. I'd expect the same team. It's more the questions really over the lineups are more from Liverpool's end to see what we'll be up against.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, we talked about fixture congestion. That, for me, screams Adama late in the game at about the 70th minute when players are a bit leggy and you bring on someone who can cause a bit of a nuisance. And Jimenez and Broja as well. I mean, Broja showed that he's got a bit of pace about him last couple of times he's come on. I feel like we could really throw some real pace on late in the game. Wilson, Broja, Adama up front could cause a lot of issues, and I'm quite keen to see how that sort of pans out. Let's have a quick look at the table and see how it all stands at the moment. Fulham currently sitting 12th, believe it or not. Bournemouth sitting just behind us.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
I think you're okay. Yeah, I think you're good.
Fulham sitting 12th, 42 points. Bournemouth just below us, also on 42 points, but with a minus 10 goal difference compared to our minus 2. Wolves just 1 point ahead of us with minus 5 goal difference. Brighton sitting 2 points ahead of us, and Chelsea now sitting 5 points ahead of us after their good win. They've got a couple of games in hand, so I expect we'll see them move a little bit further up the table. But just looking at the table, guys, in a quick answer, I guess, do you see the potential for Fulham to still make top half being 10th, or do you feel like it might be a bit of a push considering we still have to play Liverpool and Man City before the end of the season, and the teams above us have a game in hand over us as well?
I mean, I'm just sick of the 12 spot just because I don't like that number, but that's just my own neurosis.
Okay.
Look, I think that, you know, clearly that's got to be the target, is to finish in the top 10. We're not only 2 points off it at the moment, but you're right, we've got some tricky fixtures. I think game by game, we'll just have to monitor that and see how that plays out. You know, as the good thing is, in some ways, is that we're not in any jeopardy of dropping down too many places in the league. It's only really Bournemouth behind us that you'd think could catch us at this stage. So really, we should be looking up and, just playing with a bit of freedom and trying to, you know, make sure that we end this season on a positive note, finishing as high up the table as we can, so that we can just try and carry some of that momentum over into the start, come around quicker than we all expect, I'm sure.
Especially with a transfer window to come, you don't want to be finishing. It does look better to finish 10th than to finish like 13th if you're trying to sign players for next season. You can tell a bit of a story about how you're going to next season jump up a couple of extra spots and get Europe. Skibby, your thoughts? Do you think we can push higher?
I think so. I think we, as we've sort of discussed, the Liverpool game isn't as tricky as a fixture as potentially it would be earlier in the season. I think just because of the fixture congestion that we should be looking at taking a point, potentially sort of helping us off boost. The one thing I did see, which was a massive kick in the teeth, was if we had beaten Forest and like not dropped points against Burnley and beaten Sheffield United, we'd be sitting seventh right now.
Yeah.
Which is like that really did hurt. Kind of like games where we were in control, should have seen it out, should have actually taken the 3 points at each one. We would be sitting, we would be having a much, much different conversation right now. We'd be like, can we get fifth? Can we, you know, where do we sort of stop? But the fact that we're now sort of talking about 12th and can we get 10th is quite disappointing. But I think realistically, as we stand, top 10 is where we've got to sort of aim for right now. But going forward, we've got a team now, we're kind of brewing something where hopefully next season and beyond, with Silver at the helm, we can start having those conversations of, you know, Conference or Europa League, not falling just short. But yeah, I think right now, top 10, definitely. But it's quite exciting as a Fulham fan, and I'm not sure if you guys agree, but we're actually building something, and it does feel like something's brewing.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And like you say, and to quote our old friend Scott Parker, small margins. It really does feel like a couple of moments this season, if we just not let it slip, because we have been a little bit sloppy this season. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. Mm. If the result slightly changes there, like you said, we're 8 points off sixth place at the moment. Mm. And you look, we drop points at Burnley, Forest, Sheffield United. You pick up those 8 points easily from those games. And that sees us in a very different position. And then we'd be looking at this run-in going, we've got to play Brentford, Luton and Palace. That should be 9 points there. So we'd be looking at possibly hitting 60 points, which would be obviously like a record season for Fulham, but also almost certainly getting us European football next season. So it is a bit of a missed opportunity. It does feel like last season was a bit of a missed opportunity. Maybe there's a little bit of a background issue there where we do need to start grabbing these opportunities, because last season we didn't get any results against the top eight sides. This season we did, but last season we beat all the teams below us. This season we've been sloppy against them. Sammy, you have a point to make?
Yeah, like just looking at next season with a bit of foresight, say for example Tosin leaves, we're very close actually to having a full Silver starting lineup, with the only exception being Robinson and in and out Tom Cairney. But a full Marco Silva team that he's selected, and hopefully a couple of sprinklings of like some substitutes that he has specifically chosen. I really like that. It's taken a long time to get here, but next season could really be something special. Please keep listening to the podcast. Because, yeah, this is... It really does feel like the cusp. It really does feel like the cusp. This season's been weird. There's been good moments and bad moments, but this feels like the cusp of a next level. I kind of just want to skip to the end a little bit, and Dad always whinges about like me wanting to skip to the end, but I really just want to see that horizon, you know?
Mr. Narrative wants to skip to the end. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
sure. Looking at the London mini leagues, which I put together with completely wrong points, which has now been amended, it's something we've not been good at over the last, well, forever, it feels like. And it is potentially something that we've actually finally rectified this season. The fact we're sitting just the 1 point behind Spurs, a couple of points behind Chelsea and Arsenal, it means we're doing pretty well, I'd say, against all the other London clubs. If you have a look at, well, when I did have a look at last season, I think we finished second last in the London Mini League, which is pretty disappointing to not get points when you're that close to home, effectively. But to pick up 14 points against Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, West Ham, Brentford, Palace this season, considering we still have to play Brentford and Palace as well, I'd be hoping that we potentially get wins in both of those games and finish on 20, which will see us probably go above Chelsea or Spurs. How important do you think it is to actually play well whilst in the capital, whilst you're close to home and not having those big trips and travelling to the other end of the country? Ooh. Skibby.
I was waiting for someone else to take that one. But no, yeah, you're quite on something. And I think it's one of those where it's kind of more mental than anything, because we talk about, you know, you're close to home, you don't even got to do all this traveling. And like, as I sort of alluded to earlier in the podcast, that, you know, it is tiring to do all this traveling, but for some reason, and like you say, it feels like forever, we've always struggled against our London rivals. And it just feels like it's never really made much sense, because, you know, like you say, you've got the home comforts, you're not traveling as far, and therefore you should be kind of on your A game. It's almost as if we just didn't travel well in that period, full stop. Therefore, we didn't really do well against London teams, let alone everyone else in the league anyway. But it is quite refreshing now to sort of know that we are picking up those points from our London rivals from a league table perspective, but also just for a little bit of a fan jibe, because, you know, I think as I've talked about before, I live sort of north of London, so I've got a lot of West Ham, Spurs and Arsenal fans around me, and we always lost to them and I hated it. I'd go to a local pub to watch the game or something, and it would be just all Arsenal, all Spurs or whatever. And now the fact that we're now sort of picking up points, I can now finally start having a bit of a jab at them and being like, oh yeah, Spurs had a good one at the weekend, didn't they? 3-0, come on you whites, you know. And it's just a refreshing and a better feeling that I'm now getting as a Fulham fan, which I haven't had in a long time. Like, not even just talking about the Spurs and Arsenals, the West Ham's. Like, we hadn't beaten West Ham away since 1950-odd. So yeah, just the fact that we can now...
I think it was.
Exactly. So now we can go to their backyard, give them a game, and walk away with 3 points. It fills you with optimism. It fills you with that pride. And, I mean, I got a jibe from a West Ham fan on Twitter because I said, oh, you know, we're on the cusp of, you know, being champions in London. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's a nice trophy. And I said, yeah, I know. I've already booked the day off work for the parade. I can't wait. But, you know, just to be that top dog in London, I mean, yeah, it's not a trophy. I'm not going to put it in the middle, like in the cabinet at Craven Cottage. But to be able to say, you know, 23-24, we were the best team in London, I think that carries quite well, to be honest. I mean, it's probably a long shot because Arsenal are probably still kind of take that spot, but to be able to say that you finished above, you know, Spurs or Chelsea in terms of the London table, I think it shows that we're making great strides in actually competing with the bigger sides and not just the teams around us, which I think is nice. And yeah, it's always that pride, and yeah, that's the main thing about it really for me.
Oh, when we finished above Chelsea last year, the smugness I carried, the pure the pure unfiltered joy I had really no business to be there, but it was everything. It was everything to me.
And you know, it's an interesting one as well when you talk about, it seems like Fulham fans especially don't see London away games as real away days because you're still within London. And maybe that's because we've never really been good against other London teams, but when you do have these away days, and, you know, we saw the pictures after the West Ham game, Skibby, would love to see you put your hands up and really enjoy the moment for once. But it does make a difference when you actually get to beat those London teams more often than not. And you see, I mean, it's a fairly positive record, 4 wins, 4 losses and 2 draws, a positive goal difference against London teams, which I think Spurs don't even have, probably because we smashed them 3-0. But it does make those away days in London a little bit more exciting, because it does feel like we're actually more likely to get results now. And so even though it's not a real away day because you're not travelling the length of the country, it does add a little bit more weight to these games, I think. Guys, a couple more things I just wanted to talk about. Before we do, though, let's just get a prediction for the Liverpool game before we move on. Dave, I'll throw to you first. Give us your thoughts.
Well, as you know, last week I urged on the side of Fulham, you know, coming up short against West Ham. I, you know, and as I said, I was never felt so good to be wrong. And but this week I have an optimism that comes often when we play at home this season. And particularly off all of the things that we've spoken about with Liverpool's preparation for this game and the fixture pile-up, and how I just think that our style of play might be effective against them. I'm pretty confident. I say it's particularly if we can get that first goal. I don't think we'll look back, but I'm going to go for a 2-1 Fulham win.
Oh, I like that. Sammy, you next. I actually moved you below Dave on the live stream just to make sure he didn't rub his head and cause any sort of bad juju for us.
Well, I mean, I genuinely think the bad juju, I was really hoping Dave was going to say like 4-0 Liverpool. So then I thought we would have a fighting chance. But, okay. I'm not sure what will happen, but this is what I want to happen. Round about the 15-minute mark of a very, very competitive fixture, I want to see Liverpool get a red card out of something reckless, and then 1-0 Fulham. That's what I want. That's what I'm going for my pitch. I'm going to try and manifest that.
Can you imagine Jurgen Klopp on the sideline if Liverpool get a red card after 15 minutes? I think his head will explode. Him.
And I also just want to see that, just selfishly. I like to book things, you know.
I thought the Premier League don't allow Liverpool to get red cards. Is that not the way it works? VAR will definitely overturn. Guaranteed, then, there's going to be a VAR controversy in this game. That's my prediction.
But then you got to print something in the papers. So if anything, the less it happens, the more it becomes a story.
I need to find a betting website that will allow me to bet on 3 VAR incidents during the game, all of which going in the favour of Liverpool. Skibby, your prediction for the game?
I think it's going to be tough. I think it's probably going to go similarly to Chelsea game at home last year, which is, you know, we were 1-1. Like you say, I can see there potentially be a mistake where there may be a red card. And I think there's going to be Rodrigo Muniz is going to be like, oh, Carlos Vinicius getting that goal to make it 2-1. And I think, and rapturous applause, everything, just everybody loses their minds, 2-1. And I think, 2-1 Fulham. And I think that's how it's going to go.
I like the sound of that, 2-1 Fulham. And I reckon Muniz, I agree, Muniz to score and it to also be goal of the month for April. going to be an absolute belter. It'll be like a booming volley from the edge of the box or something stupid like that that only Muniz could come up with at the moment.
Well, he's been trying the bicycle kicks a lot and he finally got one. So I reckon it's got to be time for one of his Rabonas, surely.
I was about to say it's got to be a Rabona, top corner Rabona from outside the box.
Oh, imagine surely. If Jimenez did it. Oh, that would be even funnier.
that's your Vinicius moment right there. I'm going for 2-1 Fulham as well here. I think I'm quite liking the cautious, actually it's not even cautious optimism, it's just blind optimism from us all here. Just, definitely Liverpool are going to be a little bit tired, so we're going to roll them completely. And also that we've pretty much all said that Liverpool are going to get a red card, which I really like the idea of.
Yeah, the audacity is staggering.
Total prediction. A little bit of news that I want to touch on before we finish up. I don't know if you guys saw, well, I know you did because he sent me the link. There's some news regarding Willian. He's come out and basically said that he's going to be assessing his options at the end of the season. We know that he signed a 1-year deal. I don't think there's an option for an extension from Fulham. I believe he wanted a 2-year deal originally and we held pretty hard for the 1-year deal. We obviously almost saw him join Nottingham Forest last season. There's been, in Willian's conversation, he basically said that he really wanted to play Champions League football again. He said that, you know, there's a bit of a pull from the Saudi project going on. I don't know if that's financially or if he's got a couple of Brazilian mates over there who are saying, come over, it's nice and easy and good fun. How big a loss do you think it will be to lose Willian at the end of the season? And if we do lose him, do you think he's going to be fairly easy to replace or do you think we're really going to struggle? Dave first.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nervous that we're going to lose Willian this summer. I mean, I think everyone would want him to stay, just given the performances he's put in over the last two seasons. So I think he'd be a huge loss. He's the kind of one player I think can sometimes unlock defences for us from that side. And he links up so well with Robinson. It would really be a blow if he moved on. But I think the club should be really planning for that eventuality. And I do kind of trust the club's recruitment in recent years. We've done some really good business, and players we've brought in have more or less performed, with only few exceptions. Kevin Mbabu springs to mind, but
he was on a roll as well.
In case he does leave.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Sorry, missed that. Did I freeze again?
It just dropped out for half a second, and Sammy just jumped straight in there. No, I agree. I think it would be a big loss. He's a tough person to replace. Someone who's got, you know, title. He's won titles. He's won cups. He's got a lot of experience across multiple countries. A lot of Premier League experience. Even though he's pushing on a little bit in age now, definitely someone that I think we'd struggle without. Skibby, your thoughts? Do you think we'd be able to find someone to replace him?
I think we would, but we'd have to be paying a pretty penny to find someone as effective as Willian. I think the biggest loss for me would be not so much him on the pitch. I think off the pitch, he's been crucial to that contingent of, you know, looking after and putting an arm around Rodrigo Muniz. I think he has played definitely a big part in his resurgence. One of the most decorated players that Fulham have probably ever had in the squad, and he's still doing it at his ripe old age. I think it's 36 now, 35.
Yeah, 35.
And look, we've tabled, as he said in the interview, we've tabled the offer. The contract's there, ready to be signed. We've shown our intent. It's there if he wants to stay. And for me, I think he has shown us that he is still one of the most effective players in the Premier League in his position. Yes, he may not be the most sort of orthodox left winger of, you know, get to the byline, cut the ball back, really tricky. He's slowed it down. Reminds me more of sort of like how Beckham used to be on the wing, just a lot more technical rather than pace, because obviously the pace has gone with his age. But I think for me, he could potentially do it in the Champions League for like a Sporting or someone like
European
that. And I think, and for me, I think the fact that he's come off from, you know, he went to Arsenal, it didn't work out. He went to Corinthians, it didn't work out. And he was able to revitalize himself at Fulham. I think he's deserved it, to be honest. I think you're in that stage of your career. You think, you know what, I actually could go that extra level. And I'd wish him all the luck, to be honest. And I'd love him to do well if he does go and he doesn't stay. It's going to be a huge loss. And I'd be very selfish if I wanted him to stay. But I think at his career, and as good as he is, I think he could do Champions League or Europa League and play in Europe. I think it's just got that in him. And that window is so small for him now, given his age and where he is at. I think he should potentially start to look at that, if I'm honest. From a non-selfish and a footballing brain. But yeah, he'll be a huge loss. I don't know who we would bring in to sort of replace him as someone that effective. I think, could we rely on Iwobi from the left? I'm not so sure. You'd probably have to sort of stump up 20 to 25 million. For me, we'd have to look at, you know, what West Ham did with Kudos. He, amazing player on the, I think he's a left footer on the right anyway, but like those players kind of exist, right? You know what I'm getting at. Quick, carry the ball, can make something happen out of nothing. They're not cheap. So the fact that we've managed to sort of get Willian on a free has really done well for us until this point. But I would like to think that given the debacle that we had last year, where he could have gone to Forest, could have gone to Saudi, that we have now got contingency plans in place, that we know who would replace Willian if he was to leave. But yeah, if he leaves, I wish him all the best. If he stays, I'll get a Willian tattoo.
There it is. Ooh, locked in.
That was recorded, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's on record. Wonderful. Sammy, very briefly, your thoughts?
It's not going to be brief. But
make it brief. Well, time restraint.
Well, one thing I do really want to highlight is I would like him to stay, but genuinely, for me, he can do whatever he wants, because before Willian, we had a bunch of Portuguese speaking guys come in who weren't necessarily anywhere near as connected as they are now, and they're kind of self-sustaining. He's done so much for these guys coming through, even players like Andreas Pereira, bless him. He hooked them up with Kaká, Andreas Pereira's favorite player of all time. Willian just had him in his phone, and he was like, "Oh, you want his number? You can speak to Kaká." That meant a crazy amount. Well, it's true. That's literally what he did. And just for him to do that for Andreas, and what he's done with Muniz, and also like just making sure Paulina's still integrated well. He's been a real leader for them, but not in the kind of like boisterous kind of powerful sense. It's a really kind of wholesome, loving thing that he's actually done. And you can see it all over socials. Those guys really look out for each other now. And I do think it's largely down to Willian kind of making them a core thing. And if he were to leave, there would be sadness. But that is so sustainable now that you can bring more Brazilians in or more Portuguese speakers in. Yeah, he's done so much for us. And bless him, he's 36 years old. If he wants to play Champions League, I can genuinely accept that. I trust Marco Silva to be able to make a very good choice with foresight to bring someone else in. But he's done so much to raise the people around him that he has total anonymity for me. He can just be. And yeah, bless him. I love him.
Yep. No, I think that's fair. And look, it's a conversation for another podcast, but it's going to be a busy summer for us, I feel. I think there's going to be quite a lot of outs. There's news come out just today that Kenny Tete's agreed a 3-year deal with Besiktas. Fulham do hold an option to extend his contract, but with him not currently in the first team, it's likely to see him go. Ruben Amorim, who is the manager at Sporting, is tipped as one to potentially take over at Liverpool. He obviously brought Paulinho into the first team at Sporting and sort of made him the player that he is. It's a potential that Paulinho will go in the summer, maybe to Liverpool, maybe to Europe. Tosin likely out the door. Robinson attracting interest. There'll probably be people asking after Muniz this summer. Willian potentially leaving. There's going to be a lot going on this summer, and it's going to be busy for sure. And I really do hope that Fulham are in a position where they understand that this is all coming at them. I mean, if us fans understand it, surely the background, well, you'd hope that they are looking at this and preparing beforehand. So fingers crossed, but we'll definitely be talking about that through the summer, and it's going to be a busy one for sure. I'm looking forward to covering all of that. There's going to be rumors flying around constantly. We'll be leaving Sam out of it because he hates rumors. Guys, I think we can probably finish up there. It's been really good to chat, really good to get back after a couple of weeks off for me as well. Really good to preview this Liverpool game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you guys all are as well. Dave, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, and thanks very much for having me. Whereas the new tech worked out well, it's the internet now, so I've still got to up my game a little bit more to come to you know, really be a professional like you guys. But enjoyed being here and talking about the game. Really excited for it. And yeah, come on, you Whites.
The sound is crisp, if that's any consolation. And I also noticed the Fulham scarf up in the top corner now. Love it. Perfect. Skibby, thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the game. I think, yeah, it's ours for the taking, so come on, you Whites.
And well done to the West Coast Eagles for finally getting a win for you this season as well. Sammy, thanks. Thanks for joining, Sammy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And Dave, if I can be called a professional, literally anyone can, so you are in the clear, my friend. Thanks for having me. Quick outros because Dad's not here.
Yeah, Sam, you'll use these 2 hours wisely, okay? Thanks to everyone for joining us on the live stream. Thank you again to everyone for joining us as well on the pod. And as always, come on, you Whites.